Welcome to our seventh podcast on internal communication practice governance. Last time we explored a demonstrably valid definition for IC, and this was a necessary first step towards making internal communication practices demonstrably fit for valid purposes. The inevitable logic here is that you cannot know if anything is fit for purpose without first defining what the purpose is for which it needs to be fit. And you cannot know if you have a valid purpose of any given activity without first defining what the activity is which needs to have that purpose. So now, having defined internal communication in the last podcast, we can focus on what its purpose is. Before doing so, though, how can we be justifiably confident that whatever purpose we end up with, it will be what it needs to be? After all, when people are asked about the purpose of internal communication, they often say that it is to inform or educate or motivate internal audiences or to connect employees and so on. And these are all perfectly reasonable answers as far as they go. But do these purposes go far enough to be demonstrably valid? Are they precise enough? Are they complete enough? If IC is your chosen career, do they get your juices going, or do you suspect there's more? There could be more. There should be more. And not just to give your life more meaning, but because you know IC has the potential to give greater fulfillment to everybody in the workplace. And maybe we can make it easier for others to see that. In the last podcast, we distinguished internal business communication from social chit-chat by saying that it needs to be directly or indirectly helping an organization fulfill its very reason for existing. Well, that kind of sounds like a purpose, sort of, doesn't it? Well, yes and no, because people can do all sorts of other communicating at work, can't they? Which is surely also trying to fulfill the organization's raison d'etre. You know, marketing, PR, customer comms, investor relations, and so on. The question is, how specifically does IC do it? Is there anything unique about communicating internally which makes its purpose different from its external counterparts and would thus require different practices if it's going to be done in a way which is demonstrably fit for valid purposes? In short, does internal communication have a distinct purpose from external business communication? And the answer is, in a word, absolutely, albeit the reasons why need a little unpacking. And we can start this unpacking by following the money, because unless an organization is employing only volunteers or unpaid interns, it costs money to have people communicating at work. So how does any form of professional communicating pay its way and justify its existence? Now, to get the full picture here, we really need to broaden our focus for a moment and take in a wider spectrum of professional communication, which encompasses two quite different arenas. There's the recreational arena, where we'll find professional communications such as newspapers, magazines, books, theatre plays, TV shows, and so on. And then there's the business arena, the home of call centres, intranets, conferences, annual reports, and the like. And there is a crucial difference in how communications in these two professional arenas can justify the investment needed to make them happen and, if appropriate, go on to generate profit for their owners. With a recreational communication, if, say, you want to read Time magazine or go and watch A Midsummer Night's Dream, whose money do you have to spend? It's probably going to be your own, isn't it? And to watch any TV programs, you'll usually have to pay for a television license or a cable or satellite subscription and so on. So in this professional arena, it's the audience, or sometimes possibly advertisers, who are paying the communicator for the communication process. And we also need to recognize whose time you're going to be spending while receiving these communications. Again, it's your own recreational time, isn't it? With a recreational communication, then, the audience will spend its own time and money to receive it, and this means that recreational communicators can cover their costs and generate a profit if the communicators simply get enough people to engage in the process of being communicated with. Nothing beyond that process is required. Of course, it helps if the audience then goes off and tells other people how great this communication is, but that's only so that they can get more people involved in the process of being communicated with. Now, importantly, this is what journalism, a discipline designed for the recreational arena, is great at. But what happens if we apply those same financial questions to a business communication? Whose money is being spent to get the communication in front of the audience? Whether it's marketing or a sales conference or an AGM for investors or the intranet, it's not the audience that's paying for the communication process. Instead, it's the communicator that bears all the costs of both production and distribution with no direct financial payback. So the first part of this financial dynamic tells us that, unlike its recreational counterparts, simply getting an audience to engage in the process of receiving a business communication does not, in itself, generate revenue. It is purely money out the door. And even more so when the communication is internal, because there's another part to the financial dynamic playing out here, where the organization is also having to pay the audience for their time that they're spending receiving the communication. So to make commercial sense then, business communications justify their existence only as a result of the actions the audience take once that process has been completed. And this leads us to an irresistible conclusion as far as the purpose of internal communication is concerned. Because all business communications, whether internal or external, must directly and or indirectly prompt and oftentimes enable people to take or avoid actions of some kind, either straight away or at some point in the future, or both. Now, given the financial dynamics of internal communication, then this purpose is logically inescapable. And it's also not the whole story, is it? Partly because it seems to apply equally to external comms as much as internal, and partly because we all know it's perfectly possible to get employees engaging in all manner of activities that are of no value to the organization. So we could say that what we've identified thus far is merely the functional purpose of internal communication. Beyond this, though, we need to ask a further question, which is in fact a useful question to ask of any purpose someone presents to you, whatever the subject relates to. And that question is this: what is the purpose of that purpose? In this case, what is the purpose of prompting and enabling people to take or avoid actions? And this leads us to what we could call the ultimate purpose of business communication, which is, as we see it, to directly or indirectly help the organization fulfill its reason for existing as efficiently and effectively as possible and develop its ability to do so increasingly. Let's just run through that one more time. The ultimate purpose of business communication is to directly or indirectly help an organization fulfill its reason for existing as efficiently and effectively as possible and develop its ability to do so increasingly. Does that seem valid to you? For us, it seems to make sense because, well, the alternatives would be that either the communications have no impact on stakeholder results at all, which would mean they're redundant, or they're actually hindering those results. So perhaps we can be reasonably confident that both these functional and ultimate purposes of business communication do stand up to critical scrutiny. They are demonstrably valid. But is that it? Because that would mean the purpose of internal communication is no different to that of PR or marketing or investor relations. So we need to look further, because there is a key difference in how internal and external communications help organizations fulfill their reasons for existing. You see, one way or another, marketing and PR and to a large extent even investor relations are about building and maintaining a brand promise in the minds of their audiences. The job of internal communication, on the other hand, is surely to enable that brand promise to be delivered consistently and hopefully increasingly well. So if you are an IC specialist, what your work is doing is helping make sure promises are kept, improved upon, and even surpassed to make life better for everybody your organization touches. How does that feel? It's a world away from simply making promises, is it not? So we can pull all of this together into a single, demonstrably valid purpose for internal communication, which is this: to directly and indirectly prompt and enable employees to deliver and improve their organization's brand promise as efficiently and effectively as possible. One more time. The purpose of internal communication is to directly and indirectly prompt and enable employees to deliver and improve their organization's brand promise as efficiently and effectively as possible. That's what your work's about. And how does that feel? Because if that's the purpose of IC itself, what then would be the purpose of IC practice governance? Why should we be trying to make that happen? Well, given how instrumental internal communication is when it comes to delivering brand promises, surely IC practice governance's purpose should be to prompt and enable line managers to consistently and completely fulfill the purpose of internal communication every time they need to communicate with anyone inside their organization. How does that sound to you? It makes sense to us, but of course ours is just one perspective. What do you think of these purposes? Would you add, remove, or refine anything? If there's something about these purposes that doesn't quite feel right to you, do please share your concerns or questions or any alternatives you can think of in the IC Practice Governance group on LinkedIn. Of course, if everybody agrees on the purposes, it then becomes possible to start looking at how they need to be fulfilled. And that's what we'll begin exploring in the next podcast. As ever, if you don't want to wait till next time or you're keen to explore more about this subject, you can tap into the dozens of free resources available at comgame.co.uk. As always, thank you so much for listening, and do get in touch if there's anything you want to share.